So this is still on Meek 8, but... Yes. Okay, so this is on Meek 8. It was something that I saw over over Hanukkah break. It's very surprising. So I wanted to share it. So basically how I got to this was... I listened to, and I saw several people got to it the same way amongst my friends on Facebook. But basically, I listened to a weekly podcast by David Beshevkin, and this week they're doing a series on rationality and religion. So he interviewed Rabbi Dr. Sam Levins, who's an analytic philosopher, University of Haifa, I think. I remember that I find his stuff interesting when I heard the interview, so I went and looked up other things. And he has a shiur called something like, "What do you do when you find out that you are a fictional character?" And basically, it's an analytic philosophy shiur, but it's on a piece in the Me'a Shiloach from last week's Parsha. Me'a Shiloach is a very surprising thinker in many ways. And this is a fascinating idea, which... You know, I can't necessarily wrap my head around, but it's definitely worth, I guess, throwing out there. So commenting on Paro, when Paro says to Yosef, "I heard about you that Tishma Chalom Liftoroto, that you hear dreams to interpret them." So the Me'a Shiloach was the Ishbitzer, right? He says, "Hainu ki kol inyanei ha'olam hazeh hein ki chalom hatzarich pitaron. All of this world is a dream, which requires interpretation. And as you interpret it, so it will be. And one who understands that everything is really from God, and everything lives only from him, he will understand the reason for in everything and will reach true life. Just like bread is the main sustainer in Imsabo, who if you just eat bread without understanding from God, so you're like an animal. If you realize it comes from God, you will get eternal life. And lechem is the same word as chalom, and it, therefore, it needs interpretation. And the same is true of all pleasures. Now, what does that mean? Right? What does it mean? So this is what Dr. Levins was developing, and he wrote an article on it, based on yet another analysis of the Ishbitzer. But the Ishbitzer's basic theology, as surprising as it is, seems to be that the world is essentially God's lucid dream, right? That basically, and this works with a lot of other things in the Ishbitzer. Like the Ishbitzer doesn't really believe we have free will. He doesn't really believe in free will. And part of that seems to be because he doesn't think that the reality has its own reality, right? It is all that exists, right? All that exists is basically God, right? And based on this comment, what he developed is that what the Ishbitzer thinks is the world is God's lucid dream. And it's a particular type of a dream, right? It's a dream in which God is both the dreamer and a character. Exactly. Right? But that does seem to be what emerges from the Ishbitzer, because if the whole world is a dream, whose dream is it? It seems to be, right, God's dream, and we're just characters in God's dream. But it's a dream where God dreams it and is also the character, as it were. Whatever that means, right? He says, right, it's like some stories, right, the author doesn't appear, right? Like his example, right, J.K. Rowling doesn't appear in Harry Potter. But in some books, someone is the author, but he also makes himself, right, a character, as it were. I forget what his example was. What? Sure, right, let me think of that. Lewis Sacker does it in the Wayside School Stories, where he is Lewis, right? He just came out with a new one, amazingly, last year. Oh, yeah, we got it for my kids for Hanukkah. Stan Lee does it, right? That's true. A lot of people do it. He does have this, right, seemingly very radical idea, right, that the world is in some sense God's dream, as it were, meaning we exist in God's head. Now, this runs against many philosophies of Judaism, or the world, in which, you know, the world actually exists, right? And there's, right? And the world isn't God. And much of traditional theology has problems with believing the world is actually God, a cosmic views and things like that. But this is the Ishbitzer's view, right? That's what he thinks it is, that when Paro says this, right, what he's saying is all of the world really is a dream in the sense that it only, right, it's in God's head, whatever that means, that we exist in God's head. Right, meaning what Dr. Levins does in this lecture is to try to figure out, is that, like, problematic theologically? I mean, I think it might be problematic theology, but he tries to tease it out. And what would it actually mean, right? And, right, he notes, right, that it might help the Ishbitzer solve some of his problems, like his lack of belief in real free will, right? The Ishbitzer thinks that you don't really have free will. What you have is, what you have to do is recognize that everything you do, even sins, are really a function of what God wants. And if you're able to recognize that, then you have, and that's the free will you have, is to recognize that everything you do is really from God. And if you do that, then your sins are no longer ascribed to you, they're ascribed to God, because you recognize, and he says this in shocking places. He says this about Zimri, right? He says it about Korach, right? He thinks both of them were actually great people, right? I mean, this is part of a very, very complicated theology of it. But his anchor, in many ways, even though he doesn't write systematic philosophy, seems to be, in many ways, his comments on this pasuk, right? Is that the reason this is true is because the world doesn't really exist. It's God's dream, as it were. And if it's God's dream, right, so then obviously at some level the characters lack free will. Now, right, the big question you have to answer is, okay, if we're just in God's dream, whatever that means, right, does our life have any meaning, right? Right? So, and this is where Dr. Levins tries to defend it and say, well, yes, because within that fiction, as it were, you have free will, you act, right? It may not be true, but it's true within it, and we live within that. So in that sense, it could be meaningful, even though it's a very, right, it's a sort of challenging idea, right? I happen to be, right, I catch up on certain types of movies when I'm on planes, because I can't really concentrate on planes very well. So on this trip, I saw Free Guy, if you've seen. So there was actually a scene when I was thinking about this piece, and the Ishbitzer actually saw it, right? Because at some point, right, can I give away spoilers? Is that okay? Yes. Okay, fine, right? but basically, right, at some point, you discover that all the main characters are, in fact, AI, right, living in a computer game. But it was, like, highly advanced AI, and therefore they develop independent personalities, and they actually, like, develop as people, but they're AI. And so the main character has an existential crisis at some point when he realizes that he's not real. and his best friend says something like, I'm here with my best friend helping him get through a tough time. If that's not real, I don't know what is, right? And from that point on, right, basically, even though these characters know that they're only AI and they exist in a game, they decide to live their lives as they are real because within the game, right, they exist, right? And therefore, even though they don't really exist and they know they don't really exist, within the confines of the game they exist, and therefore they can...
Well, they do exist just within their own reality.
Correct. So that's basically the way the Ishbitzer thinks of the world, right? As it's reconstructed by Dr. Levins, based on an article by several articles by Rabbi Herzl Hefter over the years, that's basically what it is, right? That we don't really exist, but that shouldn't bother us because within the confines of the game, right, of the fiction, of the dream, right, that is our reality, and therefore we do actually exist, and our decisions actually matter. Even if you ask in the fundamental sense, do we exist, right? For most people, the answer would be yes, but for the Ishbitzer, the answer is no, right? Right, exactly, right. And basically what Dr. Levins does is argue that this is the key to understanding the Ishbitzer, that the reason the Ishbitzer is not really a problem to say we don't have free will, it's because we don't have free will in a fundamental sense, right, for the Ishbitzer. But we do within this fiction, within this dream, and since that's the reality we're in, that's all that matters, right? And therefore, he talks at different levels. He talks at the real level from the vantage point of God, right? But within our existence, we do have a certain level of freedom, right? As long as we recognize that we are in this dream, as it were. So like I said, I can't say I agree with this theology. I think it's surprising, and the implications of these roots are shocking. But, I figured I would share it with you because I, spent some time thinking about it on last week's Parsha, and I didn't see you really last week. If nothing else, it is a fascinating thought experiment. I can't say I agree with it, but it definitely is a fascinating view that emerges from the way the Yisrael reads that Pasuk. So I figured I would share.